Shema, tell me them. Okay, so then tonight we're going to learn a little about Yain Nesach. Yain Nesach is basically wine that was used for Avodah Zarah. The way it works is that even in the Beit HaMikdash, there were certain points where you had to bring Yain for Nisuch, for libations, to pour onto the Mizbeah. So the way it works in certain Avodah Zarahs is that they take the wine, they pour it for whatever purpose. That's called Yain Nesach, when it's poured for Avodah Zarah purposes. So maybe if they've worshipped the wine, that's a different story for another time. But at the very least, that's the general idea of Yain Nesach. Avodah Zarah, as a halacha, is asur v'hana'a. You can't get any benefit from Avodah Zarah. Let's say, I want to sell you something. I find a statue of Buddha in the street. I can't take it and sell it for $1 million, even if it's made out of solid gold with diamond ears and eyes and everything.
Melt it down and show that.
So bitul avodah zarah through melting it down. So I don't know the halachot of avodah zarah well, but let's say the goy comes and says, "I don't believe in Buddha anymore." Then you can get hana'ah from the statue, from the idol. But I don't know if you melt it down if that helps at all. Good question. Good question. I don't know. The Gemara talks about gold also, but in a different. Good question. I'm not sure. But let's say you find other avodah zarah idea things, like, you know, in the, let's say you they have in the church, they have a wafer and they have wine. You can't get any hana from that, even if, you know, it's a very expensive wine bottle. Sorry, you can't use it. And there are all sorts of things that are subject to avodah zarah.
What if it's being used for like a Jewish purpose?
Yeah.
So is this still can't be used?
No.
Because like you can't like afford to buy another thing. So
right.
You can't afford that one.
Right.
So can you use this?
No. Not allowed. Right. So we're getting to exactly that point. Right. We're getting to that exact point. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I might not know the answer. I'm talking about Yain Nesach, not Avodah Zarah, but yeah, maybe I know the answer.
Would it be possible? Let's say if we were to purchase the ground of a church.
Right. Right.
And then we use that property to build a big church. Is that all right?
I imagine so, because ground can't become asur b'hana'a.
Ground can?
Not. Cannot become prohibited in benefit. Whereas a building might be. It depends. I don't know well enough the details. But for sure, ground cannot become prohibited in Hana. It doesn't belong to you in the first place. You can only prohibit something that belongs to you. Let's say someone comes and bows down to my car. He bows down to my car. If it's his car, so then it's Asur Hana. If it's my car, nothing happens. You can't bow down to my car.
What if it's a random guy's car?
Yeah, same thing. It's not his, he can't do it. Ein adam oser davar she'eino shalo. You can't prohibit that which is
yours. No one owns the shul. It's like owned by community.
Yeah.
What if one Mashiach has a shalom bows down to the shul?
It's a great question of how communal ownership works. I think it depends. Usually we have this concept of Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, of the seven trustees of the community, of the city. They have the power to change a kenisa's purpose from one thing to from kenisa to non-holy purpose by selling the kenisa for and using the money for whatever other holy purpose. But I don't know if a normal person, hello, shalom, I don't know if a normal person can do that. So these are all great Avodah Zarah questions. A person to direct them to is Rabbi Ben Chaim, because he gets them all the time. But I don't know, that's a good question in general. Of what happens in communal ownership. How does that work exactly?
What is it called?
Nebushal. Yeah, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about all of it tonight. Bez Hashem, we can get through a lot of it. So first we have to understand the basics, though. There's three categories of wine that are prohibited to us in different ways. The first one is Yain Nesach. That's an Isur Deoraita. It's Asur Min HaTorah. On a Torah level, you cannot get any benefit whatsoever. You can't drink it, you can't sell it, you can't get it as payment for anything. Goodbye. That's Asur Min HaTorah, there's no question. The Gemara says that, Mishnah says, that the Chachamim were very afraid of intermarriage. So what did they do? They said that the wine owned by a non-Jew is Asur Bishtia. You cannot drink wine owned by a non-Jew, but you can get benefit from it. That's the first level. Then the Chachamim later, or in the same Takana, Machloket Rishonim, But a later step was, not only are we concerned about intermarriage, because, you know, wine is very engaging, go to a party, you drink together, levity, and you're all, whatever, all over each other, and marry the guy's daughter or the girl, whatever it is. So in order to boost it, once they made that gezeira about wine, they added another layer and said, you know what, not only is the wine asur when they own it, bishtia, and drinking, it's also asur bahana'ah. You're not getting any benefit from it at all, because maybe they used it at home before they brought it to you. They used it at home for idol worship. And not, yeah.
One time I heard this, it's like, if it's still covered,
right.
It's good.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's very true, right on target. We've been learning for the past 4 weeks now with Rav Ben Chaim, and during the day, in the mornings, downstairs, we've been learning all of these halachot, and it's very complicated. We literally have only, we are barely moving, it's so complicated. We only did 2 simanim in Shulchan Aruch in 4 weeks, not even, yeah.
That if you're pouring wine into and now you're just holding a cup,
yeah,
then it becomes like not kosher.
The Gemara talks about exactly your case. The Gemara talks about your case.
You have to pour it like with your aid, and then you could give it to them, and then it would be, and then you couldn't drink from that cup, but then it still wouldn't be.
Oh, what? So when he pours the wine, let's get through one more halacha, and then we'll talk about when the goy handles wine. The Gemara talks about your case. It's a little bit blurry to me what the answer is. I think that you have to be the one pouring it and him holding it. But I think he has to hold it. And you're pouring it. Because
like if it pours, then it also contaminates the bottle.
When he pours it. When he pours it. But we'll talk about it in 1 second. Let's just get through this stage first. The wine that's used for Avodah Zarah is 100% gone. The wine that he owns might have, first of all, is not okay for drinking because he might marry his daughter. Second of all, it's not okay for benefit because he might have used it at home for idol worship. The third level is the wine that he touches. The wine that he touches, when he touches it, depending on how, we are concerned that maybe he had thoughts of Avodah Zarah when he was handling your wine. That's not called, oh, Shalom Shai. Whoa. Shalom, Harry, what happened to your arm? Okay, Refuash Lima. It's a big tzaddik. Big tzaddik. Oh, he's from Chile. He's not from America. And yet he learned so much Torah in Israel, in America. Baruch Hashem, big tzaddik. Very l'shem Shammai. If you can talk to him.
On the first level, if he doesn't have a child, are you still able to...
So the Ashba talks about this by Patak. When it comes to... There's numerous gezerot that Chachamim made because of intermarriage. One of them is wine. Another one is their bread. You can't eat their bread because it leads to intermarriage. Well, he has great baguettes, right? And also their bishulim, their cooked foods, are also asur because of intermarriage. And not only that, you can't even go to a bar with a goy and drink kosher things in a kosher way because it all leads to intermarriage. It's 4 gezerot, 3 of them on foods and 1 of them on how you act. So the Rashba says, there are those who thought, let's say Catholic priests, they tell you they don't have any children. So, what's the problem if the priest owns the wine? He doesn't have any children. I'm not going to marry his daughter. Okay, but you're going to marry the other one's daughter. You marry the other one's. The Rashba says, no, it's a low pilu. It's without exception. When it's across the board, in all such cases, regardless of whether the person actually has a daughter or not. I'm married, I'm 8 years old, that person can't even sleep with a woman anymore. He's still not allowed to drink the wine. It doesn't make a difference on me, on him. It's all the same. Yeah, so what you would say. First of all, what's your name, Sadiq? I'm sorry, I don't know. Ariel what?
Hekmati.
Related to the 2 Hekmati twins, your younger brother. I went to school with your cousins, Jordan, Daniela, and Ariel. Okay, fine. When they, whatever, good. Hi.
So, what if, they're just at the bar, and then you guys start talking. You're allowed to do that?
Ooh,
no, it's like, you were there.
Right.
Like, you, take some shots.
Right.
Like, you don't know if he's Jewish or not.
Uh-huh.
So, you, can't really tell.
Right.
So, then you start talking.
So, you're...
They end up not being Jewish.
Uh-huh.
What would you do to purify yourself?
So, you should... General rule is never go to a non-Jewish bar.
No, but if it's kosher and it's Jewish.
So, if it's a Jewish bar... The Beit Yosef says that if most of the people are Jewish, you're allowed to be there. That's first of all. But the problem with the bar is exactly what you said. That you'll go, you're hanging out with your friends, and then all of a sudden, like another person comes over, hey, how are you doing? You have no idea who this is. That's exactly why you're not supposed to be there. Because you'll be introduced to strangers, and introduced to girls, and other things, and bad stuff. That's why Chachamim said not to do it. My Chavrut and I are almost up to those halachot. We didn't make it yet, in there yet. So I don't know all the details on that one. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. how to apply that. Rabbi Ben Chaim gets this question all the time. So when you become an accountant or whatever, you have to go to the city and go to dinner with your non-Jewish co-workers, non-Jewish partners, non-Jewish clients, and you have to go to dinner with them, and you can't always go to Le Marais. Sometimes you have to go to a non-kosher restaurant. What do? It's the exact same problem of going to a Beit Mishneh, going to a house of drinking of Goyim. It's a big problem. So you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi for the right way to go. Best answer is never go to a non-Jewish bar.
Make up an excuse
now. Go to the Beit Midrash. If you have to go to it for work, there are leniencies. But you have to know how to do it, so you have to ask a rabbi how to do it.
If a person selling the wine is non-Jewish, and they can't do the bottle of wine,
right?
Then
We have to talk about that point. But let's talk a few more points, and we'll get up to that. So we have to first get up to your pouring point, and then we can talk about the other one. But there's maga, when they touch my wine, depending on how they touch it, it could be a problem. So let's discuss. There's a few things we can discuss. You guys seem to want one way, but let's just clarify. What are the issues here? First of all, who, what kind of non-Jew can prohibit my wine? Second of all, how can he prohibit my wine? And third of all, from what point? If he touches my grapes aren't prohibited, right? So, you know at one point? Okay, so we'll talk about it, you'll tell us in a second if you wanted to go that way. What point would it be that the wine is prohibited, right? So, and what kind of wine basically falls under the same category that would be asur. So, we can do who, how, what. Any interest in those three? You want to do...
Who? Does it have to be any non-Jew, or is it?
Right.
Is it also considered? Because I know that like we're not allowed to like walk into a
church.
We're
right.
We're allowed to like walk into like, a mosque.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there like any?
Fantastic! You're right, hitting the nail right on the head. Okay, so that's one issue. We can talk about who. What?
Question.
Yeah.
So it's in the who.
Yeah.
Like, what if we don't follow religion?
Yeah, what if he's an atheist? He's not such a firm Catholic. He goes to church once a year for Yom Kippur. Doesn't go at all.
Not religious at all, nothing.
He knows that he believes in Jesus, but he doesn't ever practice anything.
Not even Jesus.
Not even Jesus. He's an atheist. He's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God?
But he believes in God.
He believes in God, but that's it. Okay, fine. Is he born to a Christian home?
No. He's just born like that.
He's just born normal. Fine. Okay, good question. Yeah, Rabbi Yassir.
A Jew that is like against the Torah and adamantly.
Mechalal Shabbat Farhesia, or Ovid Avodah Zarah. Yeah, all great questions, okay. Anyone else have any other further questions? We can do the who thing. I don't know if we'll have time for all three. Who, what? We can do another one tomorrow. We can do when, how, and what tomorrow. So we want to do who today? Any objections to doing who today? And then we can do how, you know, pouring, open, closed, picking up, shaking, all those fun things, you know, that you do when you're dancing with your wine bottles. So when your kolfat is opening your refrigerator door and there's an open wine bottle there, what happens? You know, your wine is gone. All those fun things. So we can talk about that, I guess, tomorrow. And then we can talk about, and maybe we'll probably have time for the what tomorrow also. And what wine? So is that good with everybody? Learn about who's going to be osir, who's going to make it osir? Fine. So the Gemara is talking about, there's two things we said, right? Two problems with non-Jewish wine. Number one was
if he opens it.
Why did the Chachamim make the Gezerah? What was the problem?
So you don't start talking to non-Jewish people.
What's the problem with that?
Marry them.
Marriage. Good. Intermarriage is number one. What's problem number two? No, for the wine itself. What's problem number two for the wine? We said... Not kosher. It's used for Avodah Zarah. Exactly. So those are the two problems with wine. The reason number one for intermarriage is why you can't drink it. Reason number two for Avodah Zarah is why you can't get any benefit from it. Let's say I know the guy is not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. I know he doesn't do any idol worship. He is a Muslim. He's our friendly neighborhood Muslim out in Old Westbury or Queens or Brooklyn. And he bows down to nothing. He bows down to God when he prays. He doesn't bow down to anything else. So that's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Is there any chashash? Is there any concern that maybe he did it for Avodah Zarah? No. So the Chachamim said that's not included. But in which part is it not included? It's not included in the Isur Hana'a, the prohibition of benefit. But certainly his daughter is still not okay for you. It's still intermarriage to marry his daughter. So that's included in the Isur Shetiyah no matter what. When a non-Jewish, a Muslim, has wine of his own, or he touches your wine is now asur, bishniya, you can't drink that wine. Whereas if a non-Jewish Christian touches wine, or owns wine, it's asur b'hana, you can't get any benefit from it at all. Forget about drinking. You can't get any benefit from it at all, which was a big problem in Ashkenaz, in France and Germany, in the 11th, 12th, 13th century, because the Jews weren't allowed to do anything but business. They couldn't own land. So what did they have to do? They lent money on interest. And they made tons and tons of money on interest. The problem was that the goyim couldn't always afford it. It was a very big interest rate. So something like 100% or 200% interest for like 6 months. So how do they pay for it? With wine. But you can't take the wine. What do you do? So Rabbeinu Tam, Baalei HaTosafot, found this loophole. He said, the goyim nowadays, they don't even know, and the Jews know more about Christianity than the goyim do.
No, honestly,
do. The goyim barely know anything about Christianity. They don't bow down, they don't know what they're bowing down to. They think that there's only one God. They don't have a clue what they're doing. They're not really called Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And if they're not really called Ovdei Avodah Zarah, then their wine...
Then it's prohibited
to drink. It's mutar to benefit from their wine. If they're not really idol worshippers, you can benefit, but you can't drink. So therefore, you can take it as payment and sell it to the next guy and get your money for it, and it's okay. That's a very important point that came up from the Baalei HaTosafot. In the Sephardic lands, that wasn't so important because there were rarely any Christians. There were some, but there weren't so many. It was mostly Muslims after the Ali and the whole Hevra conquered the entire Middle East and everything around it. So it wasn't so relevant. The problem was, it's the Asur B'Shtiyah. You can't drink with them.
So now Ashkenazi can have a benefit from the wine.
Exactly.
But still can.
If it's Christian, so the question is, do you accept this Pesach of the Baalei HaTosafot or not? How much?
I feel like you should, because we weren't there, and it wasn't our business doing that.
And even if it was, the Sfaradim didn't accept it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold that way. And then that's the approach of the Sfaradim. But nowadays, it doesn't really happen so much. Unless you have like some sort of business. Let's say a guy I know is doing research in biology in a lab. He works with fruit flies. In order to feed fruit flies and keep them alive, you have to give them grape juice. So he has to feed them grape juice. So what does he do?
Is grape juice also included?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Is that fermentable?
Not alcoholic.
That's the exact same point. It's not alcoholic. It hasn't fermented yet, grape juice. So maybe it shouldn't be included. So the answer is that at what point is wine viable for a goy to make it prohibited? Right? So maybe we should, one second. We could talk about this now. So at what point does it become prohibited, the wine? So, the way it works is that when you step on the grapes and the juice comes out, it's all stuck in the vat that you're standing in. There's a machlok at Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, at what point is it that when the goy touches it with his finger, does it become asur? Because he's the one who's jumping on it. Or even not. He could be. Right? It might not just be you. So Rashi holds, the moment that I separate some of the juice liquid to the side, from the grapes and all the grape junk that's in the water, that's called hamshacha, it's called drawing away. At that point, all of the wine in the vat is subject, viable to become asur through the touch of a goy. Rabbeinu Tam says, when it leaves, when it goes down the slope out of the vat and into the next container, the next area, that's when it becomes asur. Yeah.
Most farms,
you don't go with your bare feet. Like, you wear plastic stuff over your feet. Right.
So, would that
still
kind of protection?
Right.
Or there's like a layer of protection.
So, Moshe Feinstein has a teshuvah that, let's say, the goy is wearing gloves. But even without that, I'll tell you that we don't necessarily hold, I have to double check this, we don't necessarily hold that using one's feet can prohibit the wine in the first place.
We don't hold that back out as a touchdown.
Correct.
But like, what if like one falls in his hand and puts it back in?
Ah, so goodbye.
You don't know that.
That's why there are so many halachot about how you can't leave a goy with your wine press by himself. You can't buy a barrel from a goy that's open because maybe he'll stick his hand in, touch it, move things out, put it back in. There's a whole series of complicated halachot about exactly this question.
Does that still go on for today?
It does, certainly does. The factories, at what point when you put the grapes in the machine and it crushes them all up and separates the wine, if it ever becomes subject to the goy handling it or touching it or even like stirring it.
Like carrying a bucket?
Carrying a bucket, depending on your type of wine press, that could exactly be the problem. 2 minutes. So that could exactly be the problem with the wine press. So that's why you have to make sure a kosher wine press, or Moshe Feinstein has an issue, what about this, how it, we'll get to it in a second, if you can get it out, if you can cook the wine, because the Chachamim say that wine that's not ra'ui l'nasech, it's not something that they would use for libations, because let's say it doesn't taste good, because they cooked it, that's not even viable. We'll get there also, sweet tasting also, all these different leniencies. If you can get it to a point where you can stop the Isur from taking place before he touches it, great. But you have to make sure that between the separation and the nullification of the Isur, like ability, nothing happens in between. So every machine is going to be different.
Okay, so while they're like crushing the grapes and stuff, they can touch it, no problem.
Yeah.
Then once they're done with that, and they start draining it,
right.
That's it?
So that's according to Rabbeinu Tam when they start draining. According to Rashi, even in the vat, if they just move some of the liquid without the solid...
No, but it's going to be either way. Because when you're stepping on it, it moves around.
But it's all mixed. Let's say we separate away from the solid. Only, let's say I take a cup and I pull it, I cup out some grape juice. Go, goodbye. The whole thing is... a problem now. Everybody holds like Rashi. Everybody holds like Rashi. Certainly in Rabbeinu Tam's situation, when it comes out, Rashi agrees also, because it's separated. Because when it goes down the ram, out of the vat, it's only the liquid that's going out, not the solid. If the solid comes out also, so then fine. But the question is only, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're a little bit more lenient. We don't hold like that though.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who was like higher? Like, you know what I mean? Like a Rishon or
an Akron? Yeah.
So, who was that? Rashi?
Or a Benutam? It's a discussion. Rashi didn't always, the Beit Yosef says, Rashi didn't always have the final Psak Halacha in mind. He wasn't always telling you what opinion we follow. He was explaining the Gemara to you, and his intention wasn't to tell you Lema'ase
so
we should follow.
Is like a
Rashi's a Rishon, and his grandson's a Benutam. He's also a Rishon.
He's also a Rishon?
Early, early Rishonim. Rashi died in 1095.
They can both argue with each other.
Correct. They do all the time. That's why some people wear two pairs of tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Because they have different opinions about how to organize the parashiyot inside.
I have a question.
Yeah.
About, when the wine is boiled, it like loses like its
sense. Right, yeah.
Do you have to use like unboiled wine for maggots? Can you use like the lower standard?
Can I abstract your question a little bit? If you boil the wine, is it still called wine?
Yes.
It's called wine. It's like.
But can you say a gefen on it?
No, it's the sound.
I don't think so. Is it lower than grape juice? I don't think.
You think it's like grape juice? Okay, fine. I'm asking a question. Okay, fine. But then the question is, like, do you need to have alcoholic wine and other things? Or can you have grape juice? Or can you have boiled wine? So maybe we'll pick up from boiling and mevushal and pasteurization, modern day boiling, tomorrow, Bez Hashem, if you guys are around, or next time you guys are around, either way. Let's just review what we accomplished today. We'll pause here. And then tomorrow we'll pick up with some more. Wednesday, I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So whenever you guys are available, we'll do some more. Let's just review. We had three types of wine that are asur. Wine that was actually Yisrael Avodah Zarah, Yain Nesech. We had wine that was belonged to a goy called Sitam Yenam. He just had it. I don't know what happened to it. And there's Maga Akum, he touched it. The reasons being intermarriage and Avodah Zarah, you know, were suspicious of it. Right? So after that we spoke a little bit about who can create the Isur, who can create the prohibition, whether a Christian out of Ovid Avodah Zarah, Christians nowadays, Muslims nowadays. And then we spoke a little bit about Mivushal. We'll have to get back to that tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. And we spoke about at what point does the wine become Asur? Hamshacha. Machloket Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says when you separate it inside the vat, Rabbeinu Tam says when it comes out. We hold like Rashi. So it's points to come back to Be'ezrat Hashem next time. Whoever's around is what should we call it? What can you do to the wine to prevent it from becoming asur? And let's say you didn't do that. Let's say a guy handled it. He poured it. He shook it. Picked it up. He didn't shake it. He touched it. He put his finger inside. He licked it. Whatever he did, you know, what happens exactly? When is it asur b'shtia? When is it asur b'hana'a? When is it totally mutar?
Okay, so hana'a means you can benefit.
Correct.
And shtia
means you can benefit, but you cannot drink. Exactly. And then there are a couple of other, you know, practical, every single day, kashrut, things that come up. Let's say you want to drink whiskey, cognac, vinegar, all these fun things. Huh?
Like, although like it is like a social thing,
yeah.
Like, would that be still classified
under
like wine?
Vinegar? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like you drink a lot of like wine.
Right.
So
what's vinegar?
Even though it's a social thing, like any alcoholic beverage,
yeah.
Would it still be classified under like these?
It's a great question. Great question. We'll have to get to it. What about beer? Answer is, the simple answer is no, beer is okay. That's why you might go to a bar and drink beer, but it's still not okay to be in the bar with non Jews. Yeah, when you're in an area where everybody's drinking together, it's not okay.
What about like a family gathering?
Non Jews. I'm not talking about Jews.
No. It's like your dad is a Jewish,
right.
Your mom is.
Right.
So then, like, you have a family
and they're not Jews there, they're drinking.
So you, yourself, you become religious, but you still want to respect
right.
Your parents who are still going to.
It's a good idea.
So what do you do?
I have no idea.
Doesn't it like respect your parents? Like, not like,
so that's like one of those.
Doesn't it not transcend like breaking the law?
Of course it doesn't. But sometimes it's not a matter of halacha.
They tell you like break Shabbat.
Right.
And like all the things that the rabbi listed out as like break.
Right.
Like if your parent says, oh yeah, do like one of these,
yeah.
Like 10 things on the list of like
right.
You can't listen.
100% true.
Listen the same thing with,
Saying how are you allowed to violate this? You want to respect them, but you have to explain to them, you know, I have boundaries.
Yeah.
It's a very good question. It happens to be this, even religious Jews have a way around this boundary. When they go to work, they have to go to the non-kosher restaurant because of a meeting. All sorts of crazy things. When I worked at a company called Blue Apron. Every Thursday night, it was a happy hour every Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock in the office. I would get up and leave. But let's say I couldn't. What would I do? So you have to figure those things out. Maybe go to another side of the room. Don't hang out with the people who are drinking. You have to figure these things out. They're all very important. But needless to say, the reason the Chachamim made these gezerot was to keep us far away from intermarriage, and we should try our best to understand halachot so we can stay away from them, Bezat Hashem. Okay, guys. Chazak Baruch. Gonna go. We'll learn again with Hashem tomorrow or in the next night.
Whenever.
I'm here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, usually.